Shalom. We're in Ein Ayah, Piska Kav Dalid. It's paragraph 24 of the second chapter of Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadotot. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. Maybe you want to sit on the side so you can look on with Sonny. Okay. And we started this paragraph in the Gemara. We'll go quickly through it. There's a Masechet Shabbat, Chav Gimel, 23. The Gemara asks, after telling the story of Chanukah, in the midst of lighting the Chanukah candles, May Mevarech, it's on page 72. What bracha do we make? And we discussed last time, Rav Kook spoke about the difference between Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvotav, that God, every time we make a bracha on a mitzvah, we remember that it's one of a package deal, right? That we get to Kiddusha through the mitzvot, where the mitzvot are the means, Kiddusha, holiness, is the end. But in addition, each individual mitzvah is also important. Okay, so that's Asher Kishan Mitzvotav, Vitzivanu al, Ladlik Ner, Shel Chanukah. Continues the Gemara, Mevarech Asher Kishanu Mitzvotav, Vitzivanu Ladlik Ner Shel Chanukah. To light the candle of Chanukah. And here the obvious question is, why candle in the singular and not candles in the plural? Right, we all know that the basic chovah is the minimal obligation is Ner Ishu Beito, is to light one candle for the house. And so that would be a technical answer. On the other hand, very often we do say a bracha in the plural, especially here, because the Mahadrin is to light many Nerot Chanukah, and that not only is it the Mahadrin, that's actually the custom. In all of the Eidot, everyone has the custom of lighting many different Chanukah candles, right?
If we're going to ask that question on Hanukkah, sure. Wouldn't it be stronger to ask it on Shabbat?
Okay, good question. But the Gemara doesn't talk about Ladlik Ner Shel Shabbat. The Gemara asks, what bracha do you make regarding Nerot Chanukah? And also, it's interesting, the continuation, Ve'echan Sivanu, right? Where did God command us to do mitzvot drabanan? In other words, how can we say in the bracha regarding all mitzvot drabanan, from Eruv Tavshilin to Nerot Shabbat to right, any mitzvah, Kriyat HaMegillah, right? Where did God command us? It's the rabbis who commanded us. And all of these sugyot are davka written regarding Ner Chanukah, which is interesting in and to itself. Why is it this the mitzvah? My educated guess might be because it is by far the latest of the mitzvot. Chazal talk about Shlomo HaMelech being mitakein eruvin. Megillat Esther is in between Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. Here we're talking about mamash towards the end of Bayit Sheni. We're talking about the year 150 BCE, which is about 2,000 years ago. So it's relatively a very late mitzvah. Maybe that's the chidush that even here we say God commanded it, even though God had given the Torah 1,000 years beforehand, right? It's the most recent mitzvah. That's my educated guess, but why Chazal discuss all of these issues dafka regarding Ner Chanukah. But Shara Terutzim Lo Ninal. I'm sure there are other answers as well. Ladlik Ner Shel Chanukah. HaChanukah HaMushpat MeHa'atid HaYoter Na'ala Kasher Biarnu Borat Chanukah. Rav Kook here is reminding us that of his commentary that we learned a while ago in 15, in paragraph 15, that where he explained why the holiday is called Chanukah, Chanuch, right? It is dedicated as opposed to Chanich, which is a more common term, Chinuch, Chanich. Chanuch means that it was dedicated originally, that it had all of the potential holiness in it from the beginning, right? Already when we built the Beit HaMikdash, it already had everything that was going to be there in the future. Okay? So again, Chanukah mushpat me'atid. Chanukah, who even in the past was influenced by the future, that it had all of the future in it, bakbala lahura'at chinuch, as opposed to the term chinuch, which is an ongoing process. If you remember there, we spoke about how education is nonstop. Even my married son said to me once, Abba, doesn't it feel good to know that you finished your job of chinuch with me, that we set up a house of Torah? I said, it's a good feeling, but you should know chinuch never finishes. Not with your kids, not with yourself. And that's the word chinuch is an ongoing word. It's like limud. Limud literally would translate as learning, right? Chinuch is education, right? As opposed to chanuch, which is, how do we translate it then? Anybody remember? Dedicated. Not dedication, but dedicated. It's in the past. But the past, which holds the future. He mitzayeret et kol ha-me'oraot ha-pratiim she-tzrichim la'ir ba'uma. The idea of ladlik ner shel Chanukah, to light the light of Chanukah in singular, comes to stress that each individual light is very important in and to itself. And this is a very important message, something that we've seen in the past, where a lot of people who learn philosophy or learn Tamei Mitzvot, or for sure those who learn Kabbalah or mysticism, they go for the klal, for the general, and often they can forget the details. Right? The classic examples in the Hasidut, sometimes even Hasidic Rebbes wouldn't daven in the proper time. Why? Because they went for the general idea of connecting or conversing with God whenever they would be in the right mood, even if it's not according to the details of the halacha. Rav Kook, as opposed to that, is always very careful of the details. Don't just look at the forest, but also look at the individual tree. Don't just look at Am Yisrael, but look at Rebbe Yisrael, right? The Jew next to you. Don't just talk in general terms about loving the general klal, but it has to express itself regarding your love for each and every detail and for each and every Jew. And here Rav Kook is a very interesting example of the different orot, individual lights. Or HaTorah, the light of Torah. Or HaNevuah, the light of prophecy. Or HaChokhmah, the light of wisdom. Or HaTzedek, the light of justice. Or HaGvurah, the light of strength. Or HaSimcha, the light of happiness. Or HaChesed, the light of kindness. Or HaAhava, the light of love. Uchiyotzebo. So the Uchiyotzebo, etc., Rav Kook is saying that there are a lot of more lights. Nevertheless, I'm sure it's not a coincidence that he gives eight examples, because that's our topic, the eight different lights of Chanukah. If you were to ask me to take an educated guess, what would be the first eight examples of light that Rav Kook would mention, I think I would probably have guessed most of them. In other words, these are really central lights that he writes a lot about. About them a lot. Okay? In other words, don't just talk about Orot, Rav Kook's books in general, light, 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 but break it down. And in fact, Rav Kook himself, his farim, and named by his son Rav Tzvi Yehuda, there is Orot HaTorah, there is Orot Yisrael, there is Orot Eretz Yisrael, there is Orot HaKodesh. Right? He himself broke it down according to topic. Shirak terem huchra hatachlit ha'elyona shel ha'chaim nir'im lanu ha'orot harabim ha'pratiim ki'ilu hem dvarim nifradim. That only before you unite and harmonize all of the different lights in life, and as we said in the past, it takes maturity, it takes time to learn how to harmonize all of the different aspects in life. In Kabbalah, for example, the 10 sefirot of God, of the world, are divided into the left sefirot, the right sefirot, the left sefirot, and the uniting sefirot. For example, Chesed is associated with the right, Gvura is associated with the left, Tiferet is the torso, which unites them. The same thing with the bottom part of the body. There is Netzach, and then Hod, and then Yesod. In other words, this is what very similar to what Hegel called the thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. Okay, and this is an idea that we've seen in the past, the idea of Ichud HaHofachim. That's how Professor Resnick summarizes the also Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria Zatzal. They both use the similar term that Rav Kook's Hashkafa is that he unites the opposites. Okay? Here we're not talking about necessarily the right and the left and the synthesis, but we're talking about a lot of individual, in this example, 8 individual lights, where in the end they all are meant to harmonize together. But there has to be this optical illusion of temporarily separating them. This is what he, Rav Kook, calls it in Orot HaKodesh, Hafrada al minat hitchabrut. If you remember, I imagine, hopefully some of you remember, this going back 4 or 5 years ago, when we spoke about the term, the Kabbalistic term, Alma de Piruda, a world of separation. That when God created the world, he did it with the term, one of the most common terms is Vayavdel. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided. On the first day of creation, Hari, before creation, there was one. Ein od milvado. There was nothing aside from God. And then when he created the world, Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or levein ha'choshech. He, as if it were, divided that into two. Afterwards, Vayavdel bein harakim, Vayavdel ben Hayamim, and Vayavdel ben Maim Lamaim, Vayavdel between lands and places. And then afterwards, there's another term which is used regarding Vayavdel, Zorea Zera Liminehu. Right? That the idea that there are many different types of Minim, Liminehu, and each Min has a lot of different Minim, and each one of those Minim has also zera, has seeds, right? If you just look at the fruit, right? You can make a list of hundreds of different type of fruit, and then within those different hundreds of types of fruit, just look at apples. And even within apples, that's divided into, you got Delicious and Macintosh and Granny Smith and Yellow and Yonatan and, you know, a lot of different types. And then those are divided into many different yichidot. God created the world not in terms of apples. He created all the different types of apples in one shot. And then even those apples have zorea zera, have seeds which are meant to multiply. In the animal world, it's called pru urvu. In the human world, it's called pru urvu. Be fruitful, multiply. And the more that's going on, the more that the world, that the creation is continuing, the less and less you see unity, God, oneness, and the more and more you see hevdilim, vayavdil, divisions, and multiplying, and many, 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 which seems at first glance to be the opposite of unity. And why did it have to be this way? This is the Kabbalistic idea of hafrada al minat hitchabrut, separating yourself for the sake of having what to give. This is something that we've seen at least 4 or 5 different times together, and there are many times where Rav Kook that we haven't seen together. Just some of the examples, which I think we did do together, a person's development, right? A person, even though our goal is to give to Am Yisrael, litakena olam, even to fix the entire world, you're not meant to do it at the age of 10 or at the age of 15 or at the age of 18. The first stage is hitkansut. Rav Kook says, go into yeshiva, get in touch with yourself, find your letter in the Torah. After you build yourself, then you can build a home, you can educate kids. There's an interesting term, im ein ani, ein ata, ve kal vachomer she'en hu. again, if a person doesn't know himself, he can't know his spouse or his children. And how much more so he can't know God. In other words, the first step is to know yourself. We're all separated into different people. Different letters in the Torah. Every person has their letter in the Torah, which comprise the entire Torah. The same idea we saw regarding Machloket, where Rav Kook gives a beautiful analogy of in Erech HaNigudim, of the beginning of Orot HaKodesh. He says that the Torah is like Etz Chaim Hi, like an orchard. When you first plant an orchard, as I did when I planted my 18 trees in the background, and Arle Antman, who was the local gardener, he told me, I asked him, how far away should I plant them? So he said, at least, because, you know, it's not such a big yard, so I wanted them as close as possible. He said, at least 2-3 meters between each tree. I said, fine, until I measured it. And if I were to leave 2-3 meters between each tree, then I'd only have room for, you know, a couple of trees. So I went back to him and I said, are you sure that's what I need? He said, of course. And that Rav Kook says, each individual opinion, also that of Beit Shammai and also that of Beit Hillel, needs to start out distant. And that way each one can develop itself. Each one gets its nourishment. They don't take water from each other. They don't take vitamins or sunlight from each other. And then when they grow up, they meet at the top like one beautiful carpet. Okay, that's the idea of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. But we want there to be machloket. Rav Kook says the same thing politically. We want there to be right-wing parties, more nationalist, hawks, what they call. And we want there to be left-wing parties, more universalist, more democratic. And we want there to be religious parties, because all of them keep a check on the other ones. Right? If you remember that, maybe just a quick review. I'm not sure we ever learned this together, so I have a couple of copies here. Please look in the back side. This is on page Ayin. The back of the page, right? These small letters. You just need one. They're all the same. You see where it says Shlosha kochot mitavkim ka'et b'machanenu. Okay? There are three Yudchet. There's page 70 in Orot. There are three forces, three camps, which are struggling within the camp of Israel. Hamilchama b'nehem nikeret hi biyoter be'eretz Yisrael. The struggling is coming to a peak in Eretz Yisrael, where there was always the Haganah and the Eitzel and the Brit HaShmonaim. Again, you have Jews, three Jews, four opinions. Aval pu'ulatam hi pu'ula nimshechet mi'chayeho ma'bichlal. But this split, this division of three ideological camps didn't start today with the return of Israel to the land of Israel, but it always was. You can trace it back to Beit Sheni, the Second Temple. You can trace it back to the Tanakh. Vishor sheyehem kvuim hem betoch ha'kara choderet b'merchavei ruach ha'adam. And the truth is, these camps are not only found in Am Yisrael. All of the world, all of mankind, all ideologies can fall into these three categories. And I checked this out in one of the elections when there were more than 30 political parties in Israel, as usual. People listening in the Chutzlars probably can't believe that this small country has more than 30 political parties when it comes election time. All of the 30 parties fall into three categories. Umlalim nihiyeh. We will be very unfortunate. Im et shloshet ha-kochot halalu, if these three drives, she-muchrachim le-achid etzlenu, which are really inevitably must work together, l'sayeya kol echad et chavero u'l'shachlelo, that each camp has to help the other two, and to help them develop themselves, שיבצר כל אחד מהם את הקיצוניות, שחברו יוכל להביא בצורה מקולקלת. That each of them can prevent the others from getting to be extremist. It's even laughable when you see sometimes the tikshorot, the newspapers, accuse the students of Rav Kook of being extremist. Rav Kook, more than any other author, comes out all the time, here also, warning against extremism. Kishelo yisuyag darko. That's the danger if one of the three ideologies is exaggerated. And what Rav Kook is referring to here is what the Maharal talks about, the philosophy of the triangle. What is the philosophy of the triangle? Every triangle has three sides, A, B, and C. And A is bound by B on this side. It's bound by C, limited by C on this side. But it also kisses both A and C, both B and C. In other words, each one of the sides of the triangle is limited by the other two so that it doesn't become extreme. What are the three sides of the triangle? What are the three ideologies? The three lights in this case, which are meant to harmonize together? HaKodesh, HaUma, HaEnoshiyut. Religion, nationalism, and universalism, right? Rav Kook says that every ideology can fall, and every political party, I can check it out, falls into one of these three ideologies. There's the importance of religion. And here he's talking about religion in the small sense of the term, between man and God. There is, man can't just live on spirit. He needs a nation. And nationalism brings him out of his selfishness. It brings him out of his hermitage with God. Nationalism is very important to think about others. And then there's also the idea of morality, humanism, universalism, which is the more left-wing categories, political parties. And each one of the three are necessary. Now, getting back to our Pisca, after he, Rav Kook, mentions the eight different type of lights, Shirak Terim Hukra HaTachlit HaElyona Shel HaChayim, only before one gets to a later stage, a mature stage of uniting and harmonizing these lights, Nir'im Lanu HaOrot HaRabim, all of these many different lights, these many different shades, HaPratiim, these individual ideologies, as if they are separate. Not only separate, as he's going to go on to say, it seems that they even contradict each other. On the other hand, we know that the end, what is light? Light is the prism of all of the different colors, red, orange, yellow, green, etc., harmonizing together, as we mentioned many times. Okay? But you have to start out separate. Utzrichim lifamim liyot omdim bepirudam, kedei shelo timche tzurat kol echad mehem al yedei eruv parshiyot. Eruv parshiyot is a halacha concept, which Rav Kook is using, is borrowing the term of eruv parshiyot, of confusion. Right? What happens if you take all of the vegetables of a salad and just mix them together in a blender? It comes out disgusting, right? A concoction, right? You take those same ingredients and you slice them and you have them complement each other, each of the different lights, that is how you make the one big light. Rav Kook writes this on the bracha of Borei Me'orei Ha'ish, which is the exact opposite here. Notice, Borei God, every Saturday night when we make the bracha on the, it's not actually a candle, it has to be a torch, it has to be at least two wicks, right? That's part of the idea, that they're different. And so Rav Kook says, why do we say Me'orei Ha'ish, as opposed to Beit Shammai, who says, say Me'or Ha'ish in the singular? Beit Halach is like Beit Hillel, that there are many different shades and colors which make up light. This idea of separation is also found in music, also found in really everything in life. The idea of, at first, separate yourself, build up each and every ideology, each and every talent, but not for the sake of themselves, not for the sake that a person should win a Nobel Prize or become wealthy, but for the sake of that one harmony in the end, which is going to harmonize them all. Another example I just remembered is when we spoke about the flags. Remember, Rav Kook writes that each nation in history has a very important light. And their identity, the Greeks had what to give an important contribution to mankind. So did the Egyptians, so did the Romans, so did the Persians, so did the French, so did the English. But in the end, all the flags are going to be folded up, and all of mankind is going to be one big happy family, with B'ni B'chori Yisrael, Am Yisrael, as the firstborn. So again, it's the same idea. When mankind was immature, was primitive, we had to separate into many, many different nations to develop all of these different lights, all of these different talents, all these different cultures. But the time will come, and that's the goal, when all of them will unite into one big light. Again, to summarize what we've seen till now, Tem Alma de Piruda is the physical world of separation is a temporary optical illusion. Okay, but it has to be that way. That the world had to start with Vayavdel, Vayavdel, division, 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 to have each beauty develop itself. Each tree, every opinion, develop itself. Okay? Ulifamim, ha-pirudim mevi'im gam ken sichsuchei dayot. Like we said before, in the Beit Midrash, in politics, between man and his wife, right? This difference is, by the way, that's also the thing with Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava, at first, were together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to separate them in order to unite them afterwards. Okay?
הפירודים מביאים גם כן סכסוכי דעות. יש נוטה לאחד המאורות ביותר.
One person, or one camp, or one political party, or one opinion in the Beit Midrash, or one yeshiva, might pull in a certain direction to stress that light, like Hasidut, stress the light of happiness. Yivdu et Hashem b'simcha. The Lithuanian yeshiva stress the light of Torah. The Nazir of David Cohen stress the or Hanivuah, Yisrael Salanter, or HaChesed. Right? Just check all of these different orot, and you can identify in different Rabbanim, in different schools of thought, each one focused on a different one.
So, Yesh notel le'echad ha'orot biyoter. It's natural that a person, a camp, will have a certain leaning to one of these lights. V'nidmelo shemishin noted chavero hu mima'et sivyono shelo to'am o'ora chaviv alav.
And when his opponent, as if it were, the opposing camp, is stressing something else, he think, hey, they're opposing me. They're shadowing my light. They're darkening my light. Let me shine. I want to shine. And what Rav Kook is saying, it's inevitably that every person has a certain stress. Now, obviously, the ideal is to be someone like Rav Kook, or like David HaMelech, or like the Rambam, or who encompasses all of the lights together. That obviously is the ideal, but he's realistic. Most people are not so all complex. Yeah. Right? Even within the same family, every child. I was just speaking to somebody last week. A girl was telling me that she and her sister, seven sisters, they all went to open up Rav Baharan. So she asked me where I sent my daughters. So I said, well, in the meantime, we have three daughters, and each one went to a different opna. Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko. That's the light. Everyone has its own individual light that you should try and develop.
V'shehu makir biyoter biyokrato.
Everyone inevitably has a certain... By the way, I heard a nice mashal
from Rav Moshe Bleicher. She said that the force of a hammer, part of the hammer is the weight of the hammer, but the weight of the hammer will break the wall, it'll break the table. You need to concentrate, in order to hang the picture, you have to concentrate that force in a nail, right? Where the nail needs the force of the hammer, needs the tnufa, the, how do you say?
The waving?
Action.
The action, right? The gravity, right? That's pulling it down. But you need that nail which focuses all of that power into one specific point. And that's the beauty of Alma de Piruda, of separating at the first stage to dedicate all of the power into this nail, and then into this nail, and have this camp concentrate on this nail, and everyone's concentrating on their role, on their ideology. Umitok shekol echad mitgader lahagbir ulaadir et atzad atov shenafsho noteh elav. After every person develops their individual light, where their natural leaning is in that direction. Like we said, some people will inevitably be a little more hawkish, others a little more left-wing, others more concentrating on the religious aspect. Haklal mitbane. Notice Rav Kook is using a interesting word here. Mitbane. Right? We don't use that in the Hebrew, but he's inventing a word. It is built. In other words, inevitably. Right, it's built itself inevitably. V'ashichlulim mitrabim, and the perfections are many. Here, Rav Kook is alluding to an idea that, again, I think we learned like 4 or 5 years ago. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom. Right, where Talmidei Chachamim add many peace. That's a little translation. And Rav Kook asks, what does it mean, many peace? First of all, since when did Talmidei Chachamim add peace? They're always arguing.
Right?
Second of all, why doesn't it say Talmidei Chachamim add peace?
Make peace.
Why make much peace, many pieces?
Increase
peace.
It takes some.
Right? So the idea is that we want there to be arguments in the Beit Midrash. Because each opinion, he asks a question, he has to answer. He asks back, he has to answer. And little by little, each opinion is mishuflal, is mishtachlel, and the building is built. By the way, halachically, to be chayvan boneh, you have to take different particles and attach them. Migabin, for example, to make cottage cheese on Shabbat, you're chayv for boneh. Right? Most people wouldn't think of that. The Rambam explains, why are you chayv for boneh? Because you're gathering all of those curds together. The idea of bringing different combining a nail and a wall, that is binyan. Even making a hole in a birdhouse is chayv for boneh. Why? What's he combining? The Rambam says he's combining the outside and the inside. And there was all of the different examples of the Gemara for boneh. The Rambam goes out of his way to explain that it's combining different aspects. Yeah?
How does that apply to the cottage then? It's all the same curds.
Oh, but they're individual curds. Some are bigger, some are smaller. Right? The same thing when you build a house. You can't build a house just out of windows, right? Or doors, right? You need all of the different parts.
So is one chayav boneh by making an eruv then on Shabbat? It's just a building made out of gates, right?
That's a halachic building. That would be a derabbanan. But in every case, you have to ask. Because once you have the yesod of what's chayav, the idea of combining, so it's a good question. Okay. So that's the idea of talking about al tikri banaich ela bonaich, right? Not your sons who are your continuation, but the builders who take different parts and put them together. many, many peace. Aval ha-pirudim gam ken lo yu kayamim la'ad. Here Rav Kook is calming us. Don't worry. These feuds, these arguments will not last forever. Sharei kol zman sheyesh pirudei deyot in hakdusha mitbaseset ba'olam. The holiness can only appear when godliness, when unity, when harmony appears. In other words, this pirudim, these divisions, are all temporary. And again, getting back to international politics, that's where Rav Kook says, eventually, all the countries are going to fold up their flags, and they're going to unite. Not only the Euro, but Euro and America and China, and everyone's going to realize that to have one big family is more helpful for everyone.
They will have a shekel.
V'ikar ha-bracha hi berkat ha-shalom. The main bracha, the greatest bracha is shalom. From the word, from the shorish? Shalem. Shlemut. Lahashlim means to take one aspect and another aspect, and they combine, and each one completes the other. Right, this is what Rav Kook writes in Orot, page Kufnun Bet. Tzedaka asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Olamo. I hope these ideas sound familiar, because this is like, in case you haven't noticed, like a really central, encompassing paragraph in the which encompasses a lot of the different things that we've learned. Rav Kook writes in Orot, Tzedaka asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Olamo. God did a favor, did a kindness to the world. Shelo natan et kol hakishronot b'makom echad, that he didn't put all of the talents in any one place. No person has it all. Lo be'ish echad, lo ba'am echad, not one nation, no nation has it all. Lo be'eretz echad, no land has it all. Lo be'dor echad, no generation has it all. Right? Anybody who says that the old people don't know what they're talking about, they're just young people, know it all, he obviously doesn't understand. There are things that the old previous generation understood better. On the other hand, anybody who says just that the older people know everything, and that the younger people don't have anything to add, they're just as wrong. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world in a way that we need all of the different generations. We need all of the different people. We need all of the different ideologies. Ki im fuzarim hema kishronot. All of the talents God sprinkled, he spread out among all the different areas. Vehechreach hashlemut, and the drive for perfection, that's what we're talking about, shalom for perfection. Shukoach hamoshecha yoter ideali. The most idealistic drive that's driving mankind is the drive for completion. The only way we can get completion is if we not only tolerate each other, but we learn from each other, we harmonize with each other. And again, the idea of being very, not only tolerant, but very anti-extremism here, because you need all of the different factions. V'hitit kayem ba'atid biyota karabura lechol, ki kol ha-me'orot ha-pratim, again, borei moresh, every Friday, as Saturday night, we talk about the different lights in the plural. But all of them, in the end, will make up ner echad, will make up that one candle. And just like Chanukah is talking about the future, which is all encompassed in the original Chanuch, chen, so too, all of the future lights are encompassed in the singular ner shel Chanukah. That's why we say it in the singular. Al ken lo nerot shel Chanukah. We don't say the candles, the lights of Chanukah. Ne'amar bebracha shinose deya ad amerchaka yoter nizgav. Because this bracha is dreaming for the far-reaching future, where all of the lights will harmonize to make up one light. Ad ha'atid ha-yoter oyon v'ne'eratz ba'oz Hashem ki im ner shel Chanukah. Again, it was a good chazara, good review. I hope all these ideas that we mentioned hopefully should sound familiar, but every couple of years we have to review it.
Go ahead.